This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
I wasn't surprised Jones started because he's been the guy I've sort of anticipated as the incumbent left tackle. He's sort of the leader until someone else snatches it, and frankly, no one else has snatched it. But like you mentioned, Theo Benedict has been impressive. I was impressed with what we saw last week in that game, and a lot of it was at right tackle.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Brady couldn't find an open man. He's going to be sacked from behind. Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
You know what that music means. You go into the club. Let me tell you.
Pop the trunk now.
Let me tell you kids about the club that you don't know about. We were never scared as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today, and that is where we find our man known as Quadzilla, Anthony Herron, the former NFL player, Iowa Hawkeye, and also analyst for Fox 32.
Note it's not Quadzilla, or excuse me, it's not Kneezilla, it's Quadzilla, because he says the knees ain't kneeing like they used to.
When you two, when you two were in the studio last week with matching knee braces.
Yeah, that was a moment in time.
That was the vibe.
Yeah, these knees ain't talking about nothing. Yeah, we got more surgeries on the way, but we persevere. We move forward. It is foosball season, and we are foosballing our full minds out. Two preseason games down. What's been the vibe the last couple of days? Well, I guess you guys have been getting switched around with the Cubs schedule and everything, but as you've interacted with the masses since what we saw the other night at Soldier Field, our folks overly excited, underly excited, or adequately excited?
Yeah, I like that you used the term adequately whelmed, by the way. I like that made it to the forefront. I think here's the thing is, I'm happy about what I saw, but, you know, we're always going to get the contradictory, oh, it's only preseason. Mm. Well, okay, yeah, you guys were also concerned about the net drills, so I don't really care. I'm telling you what I'm seeing, and I think you were encouraged by what you saw. I know it felt that way when I was watching you and Luke Nellis on the Fox postgame show yesterday. Marshall, where are you with this, with your matching knee brace twin?
Well, listen, Anthony, I'm glad that I'm always happy when a guest comes on and he starts asking us questions, starts peppering us. I like that, hey. Okay? I like that energy because that means it could be a two-way street. So let me tell you this. A lot of people were complaining that we were giving any kind of acknowledgement slash praise, whatever you want to call it, about good things happening because it's only the preseason. My answer to that is, well, if bad things had happened, you wouldn't be saying it's only the preseason. You'd be talking about how bad things were. So I have to give a certain level of acknowledgement to Caleb Williams after seeing him in practice, as I'm sure you have too, because you've been out to Hallis Hall, and understanding he has not had things under control from point A to now. But now things look way better in terms of just the operation, the crispness of the offense on that first drive. And even on the second drive, you can argue whether or not, you know, the Rome Odunze pass could have been obviously better, and still Odunze himself could have made a catch on that play on third down. But overall, it just looked good. And to look good after looking up and down, and then to hear Ben Johnson say after the game, hey, he stacked some days, not only in practice, but also with this performance. I tell anybody who would be critical of that, what exactly would have made you happy?
And to, you know, to celebrate it within reason, I think, is an adequate way to go about this, while at the same time, both of you making the point that if things wouldn't have looked good, then the reaction would have been fairly visceral. So I think we need to keep that in context as well. The way the offense moved, especially on the opening series, but then even series number two, I mean, you know, I've been reminding folks and was kind of, you know, letting folks know that Rome Odunze would have gotten more. And Lawrence was even, I remember Lawrence was saying it even before the season last year, that having Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick, that provided some cover for Rome Odunze. And it frankly played out like that during the season last year. Now, my hope would have been and was that it providing cover for Rome Odunze and having DJ Moore and Keenan Allen in the offense, then having, you know, not to need to put the full passing attack on the shoulders of Rome Odunze would allow more wow moments without the intense scrutiny. Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams, their combination over the last, let's call it week and a half of camp, week to week and a half, what Caleb has seemingly done is now begin to lock in, you know, being able to digest the entire playbook is the initial task for him as a quarterback. But then at a certain point, you have to really get a sense for who are your go-to guys. Ben Johnson can start to scheme up a variety of opportunities for playmakers, just like he did early in that game, moving the pocket, getting the ball to the tight ends, using Cole Kmet, using Colston Loveland. We haven't seen DeAndre Swift in a game yet. You know, him being in bubble wrap, Mully kind of predicted that the other day. And it makes all the sense in the world now that we see running backs dropping like flies here. But there's plenty of playmakers for Ben Johnson to scheme up. But when Caleb Williams is just in the pocket reading the field to put the ball where it needs to be in relation to the coverage and the landmarks of the opposing secondary, that matters. But then also, you just got to know your playmakers. You got to know your personnel. And he's got something really cool going with Olamide Zaccheaus. And in practice, there's been something pretty cool that's really gone on with Rome Odunze here too. That second series, that drive would have kept going. Yes, Caleb, and I love the fact, I talked about it afterwards with Lou, I love the fact that he put that on himself, that he took ownership of what he could have done better with his footwork and the placement of the football. All those things being said, the ball hit Rome Odunze in both forearms and the chest, and he's laying out. And he didn't make a grab that you would expect a player of his caliber to be able to make. And what I've seen on the practice field lately from Rome Odunze, he has been reaching out, snatching the football with his hands more frequently, looking more imposing with the way he's been running through his routes and after the catch. He seems to be more formidable physically. I want to see him start to more consistently make those plays that the dudes in the league, the top flight receivers in the NFL, make those catches. As a college prospect, he looked more than capable of making. I want to see that more consistently at this level.
Well, and additionally, and I feel like that was a purposeful play calling set with that drive, that second drive where you saw more runs. I think, yeah, you know, we grew up with run pass being the offensive rhythm type of scheme. We know that that is not the case in today's NFL. But still, especially when you've got that chance where the goal or the move the chain situation is shortened because of the neutral zone infraction. So you're looking at 3rd and 5 instead of 3rd and 10. You know, a good team is going to take advantage of that in that situation.
And, you know, what leads to that? Having the cadence just be a part of Caleb's development. And the fact that after the game, when he's talking to the collective media and referenced how much he appreciated the defenders, letting him know that his cadence has gotten better. You know, I think back to one of my old teammates, Joey Harrington, as a young football player with teammates with the Lions. And it was almost laughable when he would go with a hard count because you could hear, you know, sort of the crescendo that was coming, that he would build up towards it. Ready, down, high, high, high. And some guys just aren't good actors, frankly. And that's a part of what you need to be able to be. When you're a QB going with a hard count, you need to perform leading into that, and it needs to seem natural and emphatic, and you can draw defenders off sides when you get good at it. Brett Favre had a really good hard count. Aaron Rodgers had a really good hard count. There's a lot of guys throughout the sport who, as you get reps at it, get really good at drawing defenders off sides. But it's not one of the things that's normally at the forefront of a young quarterback's mind, especially when they're in the process of learning a new system. That tends to be one of those things that's towards the back of the binder. Like, oh, I know the cadence. I know the formation. I know the reads. I know the footwork. Oh, yeah, having variance in my snap count and actually performing well to draw defenders off sides, that'll help my offensive line. That'll negate some of that opposing pass rush. And so even setting up that moment where it's a shorter third down, having some of the veterans on this team, some of the defenders, who've apparently, as Caleb told the media afterwards, they've been letting them know, man, your hire count's gotten a lot better. That matters. And him receiving that. Those are some of those things, kind of some of the soft factors in a locker room, in the chemical makeup of a football team, that a quarterback knowing that, recognizing it, receiving it, then these are all, while small signs, but we're starting to compile some signs of development.
This segment with Anthony Heron is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today as we continue to talk about the Bears. And I said this to Ant yesterday. I feel like there are times where when you're watching a quarterback marrying his footwork better, you're not necessarily looking at the beginning of the drop or if they're out of shotgun, that part of the footwork. You tend to focus on the end of the actual movement before the pass. And I felt like that was a lot more confidently executed on Sunday. What did you think?
That confidence matters so much. And, you know, for full context, it was a very static Bills defense, more static as far as the pre-snap movement and audibilizing, stemming. There wasn't a lot of that going on in game. You know, there was more of it that was seen in that Friday practice against the Bills starters, where Caleb still performed well against them on Friday also, and where Roma Dunze and Olamide Zaccheaus were making plenty of plays. But in what he was presented with during that preseason game on Sunday, the feet and the eyes were married together so well, to your point, Layla, and that's what makes it look more rhythmic. That's where his confidence really shows itself, where he's willing to, as opposed to patting the ball and then having to throw it super hard late because he knows it's declared open. Even recognizing coverage on the out route he threw on a previous third down to DJ Moore, where DJ Moore makes a nice grab. But the ball coming out of the hands of Caleb Williams before the receiver even starts to get into his break. There wasn't a lot of that on Caleb's rookie tape with the Bears. Getting to be able to fit it into windows on in-breaking routes to players. You know, it was a small sample size, of course, in the game the other night, but it was nice to see him hitting that back foot and just beginning his motion because he's anticipating. He knows where the football needs to go, and he's trusting where his playmakers are going to be at that time. And I think about it even, you know, before the preseason game number one that Caleb and the starters didn't play in, and those, you know, dozens and dozens of reps that they got out there. There's no pass rush. There's no coverage. It's just Caleb and his playmakers. But that goes to the plan that Ben Johnson has had in place here, where you're just getting more and more work, more time on task to turn these things into muscle memory. And that's where the trust has to show up. The trust that Caleb referenced, he didn't fully, you know, put into the snap where he threw one a little bit wide of Roma Dunze and a ball that Roma Dunze should have caught. But Caleb mentioned that he didn't fully trust it with his footwork and the running back picking up the oncoming rusher that's there. And so it impacted his footwork. It impacted the accuracy of that ball. But when you saw him at his best, you saw some run after catch opportunities that weren't just set up via the screen pass, via Caleb having to float back and hope DJ Moore makes a play because he's so outstanding after the grab. That was a quarterback in a clean pocket with all those guys in front of him, no pass rushers dropping around his legs on that opening series. And it's tougher when the ball's coming out in rhythm. And we saw a lot of the ball coming out in rhythm from Caleb, and then, of course, from Tyson Bagent and the backups as well.
We saw Tyson Bagent as we talked with Anthony Heron here on Raheemian Harris, and we've seen a lot of him already this preseason. I'm curious as to what you made of his performance and where he is in terms of backup quarterbacks, what tier he's on when you look around the league.
Well, I mean, at some point, the physical limitations that showed themselves during Tyson Bagent's rookie year, you wonder how much can a guy continue to improve upon those. He's always been a fairly mobile guy. It seems like his arm is a little more lively now than it used to be. But again, I'm trying to judge these things in context in a preseason game where coverages are static, windows are wider when you're facing backups in games. But you know, he's always been an impressive guy. And because it has always been at every stage of Tyson Bagent's development, it's been a part of his game to be on time, in rhythm, to play point guard and set other guys up, to throw players open. So you know, he's just been more comfortable with that, whether you're comparing him with Justin Fields or with Caleb Williams, because Tyson Bagent has never been like the playmaker type of guy. He's been the sit in the pocket and just feed it to my playmakers QB, just like Gardner Minshew was, just like Kellen Moore was as one of the great college quarterbacks of all time who couldn't sustain success in the NFL. But, you know, Gardner Minshew, like the Colts just named Daniel Jones the starter. I don't know that either Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson, as of right now, is actually a better option to win one game in the NFL than Gardner Minshew, but the ceiling is so low that no one's ever been willing to just stick with Minshew mania as their starting quarterback. He faced the same thing in college. So, I mean, Tyson Bagent continues to be a really impressive guy. I lose no sleep over him being the backup quarterback for the Bears because he will be there. The preparation will be professional, and you're surrounding your starter and just the team in general with guys who attack the days as a pro. And that's good culturally in a locker room. So I see him as a quality backup, but you know, how high of a tier as a quality backup, that's where you get into, you know, how great could he pull off a Case Keenum and lead a team to an NFC championship game appearance? You know, I'd have to see that first. I haven't seen that type of ceiling from Tyson Bagent yet, but you know, I like him as the Bears backup.
Anthony Heron, we have more with you as you have been kind enough to join us for a second segment. And he's on Twitch too, by the way, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can see Ant from his lovely home. So we will have more discussion because I feel like there's something we need to get into about this upcoming game against the Chiefs. So we will do that next. And just more football thoughts from the man himself. This is Raheem Ian Harris on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most. Exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All I really care about right now is to see us improve. And so that was really what we talked about this morning when we had our team meeting was offensively we wanted to play clean football. We wanted to get better at critical downs, which I thought we did. We were much better on third down and fourth down this week than we were last week. And so we had a good night. Guys played hard and they executed at a high level.
That's Ben Johnson. You know that song. Throw some D's on it. Maybe you get a Cadillac. I don't know what to tell you. This is Raheem Ian Harris on 670 The Score. Anthony Heron, the former NFL football player, Iowa Hawkeye, Fox 32 analyst, and also working for Big Ten Network, man, is continuing his segment with us here on 670 The Score. And I know we talked about Caleb Williams and the cadence and how we saw that progress work and then moved into the discussion surrounding Tyson Bagent. But there's also something else from the preseason regarding Bagent that I think is notable here. And I feel like we're seeing Ben Johnson really utilize people's strengths when it comes to their physical traits. We've talked a lot about maybe Bagent's arm strength not being there, but on those rollouts, you could see they tried to use that CrossFit speed to his advantage.
Yeah, that's a good observation. And for him, it especially showed up in preseason game number one. I think it's shown itself even in some game action going back to Tyson Bagent's rookie year. He kind of gets going when he gets on the move. He seems to gain confidence, and you know, even the way he operates from the pocket, it does seem to enhance his accuracy and decisiveness from there once he's on the move because he is a guy who can run. For Tyson Bagent, the way that he shows up every day, all the, you know, the work that he puts in around the staff, but then the lonely work that he puts in as well, just where everyone knows he is attacking each day to be at his absolute best. it's good the teammates feed off of that, but that is a really good example of Ben Johnson getting a sense for who Tyson Bagent is as a player, as a quarterback, what makes him tick. And I just love seeing, I mean, the very first play of the game, we saw some boot action. We saw the pocket move. I mean, how many Bears play callers since you've been in town here, Layla, have we had the conversation about the pocket is too static? They're asking the quarterback to sit there and read the full field too much. And Ben Johnson comes in right away, and he gets Caleb Williams on the move. He has Tyson Bagent on the move later. There's a recognition there, and it's a part of what made him one of the top play callers in the sport. Before now, there's a recognition of how you take pressure off of your quarterback and off of your offensive line, and everyone looks better because of it, because you don't see as many mistakes from them. When the O-line can roll off the ball and move people in the run game, when the quarterback doesn't have to sit in the pocket and read the full field on a consistent basis, then it's not tasking them so frequently with trying to be superhuman mentally and physically. So it's good to see. We saw that recognition with a game where they had an opportunity to actually game plan for that opponent. Even the way the tight ends were utilized, guys, where, you know, for Cole Kmet early on, you're running his big body up the rails, and he has been one of the main guys over his Bears career that I've talked about, the inconsistency of his hands, the willingness to reach out and snatch the football. It's good to see Cole Kmet doing that. And then you also use the suddenness, the movement skills and route running ability of Colston Loveland and allow him to be a target for the QB while on the move and getting him going laterally, because he does have that ability to separate from defenders. So that's where all these reps, all this extra work, it's good to see now that Ben Johnson and his staff have been able to diagnose some of that information that they've acquired about the players on this roster. And you see some evidence, you know, very early, but you're seeing evidence that they see what makes these guys tick and the positions they can put them in to for them to be at their strongest.
Better early than late. Anthony Heron joining us here on Raheemy and Harris. So here's my question. We are a week away from cutdown day, Anthony. Is three quarterbacks, is that something you think the Bears will carry on their roster? And how do you see this entire roster taking shape, knowing that several things still have to get figured out?
It's the tough thing, because keeping the third quarterback, you know, there are opportunities that you have now in the NFL to be able to utilize an emergency QB in some of these scenarios. But then also, because of the injuries at other spots, the secondary is so banged up. Everyone's hopeful Jalen Johnson is going to come back, and it's good to see him out there on the field pregame and moving around. But, you know, DB now running back, and Ben Johnson indicated that he's not too worried about the injury or, you know, whatever concerns would be there for Kyle Manungai. But, you know, there's other positions where you need a lot of bodies getting banged up. Dominique Robinson having to leave the game. Austin Booker having to leave the game. These are all things that indicate it's going to be tougher than it would have been to have a third quarterback on the roster. That's where those conversations with Ben, with Ryan Poles, and the medical staff are going to end up playing a big role, just in knowing how many of these guys can actually help us on special teams. If they're not at full speed, would we even play them on special teams, or are they just going to be on the 53 waiting to get healthy? What all are we going to do at left tackle? You know, how many of these bodies are we going to be able to keep around there? You're waiting to see more from Karan Amagaji, those types of things. So there's positions that you need depth at. Having a third quarterback can often be viewed as a luxury, just that, you know, enhances a meeting room. And Case Keenum not being healthy the other night, that really doesn't, I think, that certainly doesn't strengthen his case to stick around with the Bears. But it could be a situation where they utilize the injury to stash him maybe later on.
Well, that's a concern here, Ann, is when you consider how many positions they seem to have excess at. Like the offensive line situation, if they really like Theo Benedet as much as they say they do, you got to find room for him where you didn't have room for him previously. So it starts to add up really quickly.
And I'm seeing what they like in Theo Benedet. I was talking about it in our postgame coverage over on Fox 32. Just the, not only the size, just the stature. He's not as big as Ozzie Trapillo, but he's a big guy with a long body, but he just bends. He bends better than Ozzie. And he bends right now better than a banged-up Braxton Jones. I heard you guys talking about it before I came on with you here, just the idea that Braxton Jones is not fully healthy yet, and it is a quality reminder. It's one thing that I was talking with our guy Luke Kanellis about after the game the other night. There's two things that are limiting factors for Braxton Jones right now. Both of them just come back to the physical aspect of it. If we just assume that he's gotten to a good place mentally, physically he's still in recovery mode from the broken ankle. But then also, because of that, it even enhances the necessity that I think he seems to feel to sit down against power, because that's never been his strength anyways, to be able to anchor against a power rush. So what ends up happening as an offensive tackle is that you start to sink and try to anchor in anticipation of it. You're anticipating the bull, and once you sit down and stop your feet in anticipation of power, that can set you up where Braxton Jones has gotten beat by a couple of inside moves here, which was really a strength of his pass protection before, the ability to maneuver laterally and sideways and recover even on speed rushes if he gets his body out of position. He doesn't look like he's fully healthy yet. It makes all the sense in the world, but they don't have another great option yet at left tackle. But I do see what they like in Theo Benedict, but the guy hadn't had a snap in the National Football League yet. So I think it'd be asking a lot for him to open up against Brian Flores in the opening game of the season.
We're talking to Anthony Heron, the SiriusXM radio analyst, but also football analyst for us and Fox 32, former Iowa Hawkeye, and, of course, NFL athlete as well on 670 The Score. We talked a little bit about this before the break, but Andy Reid deciding that he wants to play the starters against the Bears in Kansas City. How do you think that translates to what we could see out of the Bears?
Well, I heard Ryan Poles kind of hint at it, even previously earlier in the week at some point, just that I think he was talking to Mullion Haw about it, just that, we shouldn't assume too much about, whether or not the Bears starters would sit in that third game. And there's a long time between preseason game number 3 and then what effectively turns into a bye week before the season, because we don't have that fourth preseason game anymore. And then you get to the regular season and a Monday night game. Mind you, not a Thursday game, not the opening Sunday of the NFL. Getting all the way to Monday night between games there, if your starters haven't seen any action by then I think that's asking a lot. If you really want to come out in rhythm in a primetime game, the very final game of the opening weekend of the NFL. So I hope they play. I think they should play. Now, maybe DeAndre Swift shouldn't play because you've already started to drop some bodies at running back. But if Kyle Manunga is healthy, I'd like to see him get a little bit of work, even though he's like de facto running back number 2 right now, because they didn't sign anybody else to really even challenge him effectively for that role. Roshan Johnson is on the roster, but he, again, hasn't been able to sustain health to really compete for being in that too deep at running back. So if you want to pick a couple of individuals that you don't want to see on the field, sure, Joe Tooney doesn't need it. Grady Jarrett doesn't need it. But Caleb in that starting offense to get a couple of series again and to get it on the road for the first time with Ben Johnson, I think there's value in that. Would it negate the potential for them to still start off strong in the opener? No, it wouldn't make it impossible. But I'd certainly feel better about it if you keep them in rhythm, especially building off of the positivity that we just saw at Soldier Field on Sunday.
I look at it as levels, Anthony, when you talk about setting up a team to progress, right? They went up against the backups for the Bills last week. That's one thing. Yeah. But to go up against the starters for the Chiefs, a certain Super Bowl contender in themselves, it feels like that's the next natural step for this team.
If we're talking about stacking days, which everyone talks about both internally and outside that locker room and outside of Hallis Hall, then this is an opportunity to continue to do that. I would have liked to have seen the full first quarter the other night. I didn't get my wish on that, but a couple of series, quality play, you're moving the rock. All right, that was good. To me, give me at least that same exact thing. I don't need to see one series, but give the starters 2 series. If they're individual players or defenders you start to pull out quicker than others, then go for it. But I'd like to see Caleb in that starting O-line, more work for Braxton Jones out there as well, an opportunity to continue to get him more lathered up and knocking that rust off and hopefully showcasing that he can get physically stronger and stronger again, then all that ends up mattering. And to do it on the road is different than doing it through these first 2 home preseason games that they've had. And after facing the Buffalo Bills, I guess the betting favorite apparently for the Super Bowl, you get Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. You get Arrowhead Stadium. You get that opportunity to see that on the road as well. And all those things will end up paying dividends. Luther Burden You know, if he gets chirpy with some fans out there in the crowd, or Tyreek Stevenson, we know how things can go with him on the road at times. All these things that the coaching staff is evaluating the current players and seeing how much they're internalizing the messaging that's being communicated to them, that matters a lot. And if I know nothing else about Dennis Allen, about these Bears defensive coaches as well, the aggressive temperament that's being infused into them, you want to see that continue. After a shutout effort the other night, where as much as the Bears offense was more of the storyline, another really solid, another strong effort from the Bears defense where they're hitting and running, they're chasing the football. You want to show that that's just who you are at this point. And to get the starters and to have them be a part of that, I do believe it matters, especially because of the time between preseason game number 3 and the time you finally get to that opener on Monday night.
What did you also think of what Ben Johnson had to say? We didn't really get into it after the game, but him talking about, I think, a teaching method for his coaching staff when you heard Declan Doyle called the plays in the second half and Al Harris called the defense. And I think we all had a good laugh because Al Harris was the guy calling 2 double safety blitzes back to back up over 30 points. That was hilariously aggressive. Right. I love it.
It shows that Ben Johnson is a guy who still, in his own right, is a very young head coach. But his ability to see the full picture, the full scope of what can make a team exceptional, you know, right now it's his offense that he's implementing. But at a certain point, you know, if he is in a position where he can give up play calling and become, you know, and this is potentially years down the road, of course, but to see the big picture of the development of what this organization can be under his leadership, and also the development of those other assistant coaches. These guys work their tails off. Like, Declan Doyle is still a super young guy who's been able to vault to becoming an offensive coordinator in quick fashion. But now getting him some experience, getting Al Harris some experience as a play caller, I doubt we'll necessarily see it in a regular season opportunity, but that's a development chance for them to get that experience in a game scenario, and then who knows what it ends up leading to, but they'll be more prepared the next time that comes because they've had a chance to actually be the one communicating with the quarterback and with the green dot guy, making those decisions in game, in competitive moments. To me, it's indicative of Ben Johnson as a guy who's not only sort of the super genius, mad scientist guy drawing up all these creative plays, but also as a CEO, as a leader of a football team, planning ahead really for what could end up benefiting him and the Bears in the years to come, and also what will benefit those assistant coaches who have the coordinator title but haven't called it before, or don't even have the coordinator title yet, but we'd be growing in that direction. I love that big picture approach to things.
That's Anthony Heron. We always enjoy talking to him. And thanks for joining us today. I'm Raheem and Harris on the Score.
Thanks, Ant.
All right. Appreciate you both.
Anthony Heron, of course, you can check out not just on our station, but Fox 32 on the Bears postgame shows and their Bears coverage, and Big Ten Network. He does it all. We have more coming up because there might be a running back available that we didn't realize was until very recently. Could he spend some time here with the Bears? We'll figure it out. You're listening to Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score and the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Robinson churning towards the goal line. Winfield trying to hold him out, but he can't. Touchdown, Brian Robinson. Robinson from 7 yards out gets the Commanders on the board.
That is courtesy of Fox Sports, I believe. Is that correct? Yes. Thank you, Robbie. The reason we are talking about Brian Robinson, the Commanders running back, is because the latest reports say he's likely played his last game with Washington. And I don't know what's going on there, because I'm a believer in if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But first you have Terry McLaurin requesting a trade, and now you have the issue with Brian Robinson. So things are changing for the team who made it all the way to the NFC title game. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And the reason we brought it up is because it was part of our discussion surrounding the Five On It segment. The Bears are still likely in need of more running back talent. Now, he's probably wanting more money than perhaps what the Bears could pay him, but it's at least worth a question when, you know, he didn't play last night against the Bengals, and he is somebody who has value, especially as somebody adding versatility possibly to a running back room that needs it.
It's one of those situations where it's a numbers game because the Washington Commanders have so much running back depth. Of course, Austin Eckler is a guy that played limited games last year, started 6 of them, but only played 12, and Brian Robinson basically was the guy. And the
Debo
Samuel, adding him to the roster, knowing he's going to get work out of the backfield, it jumbles things up, and you're like, oh, well, they don't really need him, so why would they pay him?
Yeah, it's an odd man out, perhaps, scenario, but regardless, he can produce. Like, he had 8 rushing touchdowns last year. He's had at least 700 yards in each of his first 3 NFL seasons. 41 total games, he's got 20 total touchdowns. Sounds like a guy a lot of teams can use.
But for the Bears specifically, I don't think you make this move of trading for him unless you do intend on paying him, and that doesn't necessarily make sense. That means Ben Johnson would have to be a certain level of high on him. And the question then becomes, how do Ben Johnson and in turn Ryan Poles evaluate his skill set, and does it fit with what Ben Johnson wants to do?
So according to overthecap.com, and there's always a couple of different sources on this. SpotRac is one a lot of people use as well. That the space the Bears have is $13.2 million right now.
Right. That sounds about right. And understanding,
you want like $5 million to work with to pay people you move up and down on a practice squad, stuff like that.
Yeah, you want both the flexibility to do that, what you just said, which is the practice squad, injuries, you don't know what you're going to do, but also the trade deadline, and to be able to absorb something if you want to make a big ad at the trade deadline, you want to have that type of flexibility as well.
So I say all of this to say, is it worth looking at when you consider, number one, the Bears running back room, as we know, is not entirely healthy. You know, Roshon Johnson was the one person we were focusing on to see how this was going to go. A lot of people wanted to see Ian Wheeler. He had 2 touchdowns in the game on Sunday. But when it came to Roshon being likely the man to be the complement to what DeAndre Swift does, he's set back by an injury. We don't know what's going on with Kyle Monongai's health, as Anthony Heron just mentioned. But either way, this is a guy who's gotten proven production at the Commanders.
I think understanding that this is a guy who had 36 catches in his second year in Washington, only 20 catches last year. He played 14 games, started 13 of them. I just wonder if he fits what Ben Johnson wants to do. He's been a good running back. There's no doubt about that. You, like you said, you started the segment saying if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He's certainly been a part of what has worked right for the Commanders. I just wonder if for Ben Johnson that can be in that same space. And if it is, pull the trigger. You want to have optimal offense. I know Caleb Williams is no longer a rookie quarterback, but that running game can still be his best friend.
Well, and 29 is not old to me. 29 is not old to a lot of people. But to some people, 29 was a little old for Debo Samuel. You know, when you consider
I'm 29.
The Niners and what they decided.
Age is
never more relative than it is in football, I feel like.
Yeah, more so than other sports like baseball, basketball.
Yes.
Like 29 is a prime in baseball, basketball. But
the phrase the wrong side of 30 in football, yeah. I feel old as
29, though. Is that wrong?
You're just not around enough people older than you.
Yeah, also, you just haven't lived enough Come back to me
more trauma
when you're 35. I don't know if you were to go out there and say you need the trauma. Just say that the experiences have not lent themselves to you feeling as experiences maybe you should have at this age.
Okay, we've gotten some hot takes on the text line.
Oh, I love hot takes.
815, trade Swift for him. No, I don't think we're going to do that. Let's keep in mind DeAndre Swift was the second most popular name in the free agent running back crop next to Saquon Barkley. So maybe we tap the brakes there.
Maybe one of the biggest wins for Ryan Poles is knowing that was his first option as far as last year when they needed a running back. He said, I want Saquon Barkley, and they tried to go get Saquon Barkley.
I also wanted Manny Machado on the White Sox, you know.
We all have our things, right? There's always that one guy you wanted on that one year of that one team that you feel like would have made the difference.
No, but my point is, it's easy to say that. It's easy to, but also, yeah, I mean, everybody ever wanted Saquon on their team.
No, but I mean, they engaged in conversations. They went after him.
Yeah, I was having some fun with the concept because mostly I wanted to White Sox it. But that was another era that
congratulations
also gives,
to White Sox on snapping your 4-game losing streak.
That gives me trauma. When you talk about experiencing more, the Manny Machado days, that was the time to be had. Either way, I think that the acknowledgement of this in some way, shape, or form still lets you know that you don't necessarily know who is set in your running back room for the Bears. And that's a bigger part of this as well. Did Ian Wheeler do enough to impress people to consider him in a different role and maybe have more carries than what was previously thought? You know, that's something that we will examine, I think, especially when more comes out this week about how the Bears want to use their people. Friday might be a big day for him.
I keep looking at Friday as okay, will they know who their left tackle is before the game, starting left tackle for the season, or will they still be making that decision well after the game? Because you've got the 2 weeks in between the final preseason game and the Monday night opener against the Vikings.
And 417 says, if Ben Johnson really thought the running back was a huge need, they would have done something early in the draft. I don't think so. I think that they did think running back was a big need. And I think that Brian Poles talked about how they stuck to their board. So much so that we saw them not take a running back until the 7th round. Dan Wiederer used to be at the Chicago Tribune, and he has a really good article about that. If you want to look at it, now, and I think a lot of times it is a good idea to revisit some of those discussions.
Also, 815, who said trade Swift for him, also later said, do not take the opinions of 815 literally.
Those are two different phone numbers. I have no beef with 815.
Oh, okay.
The only person I have beef right now with is the person who stole my nuts on Clark Bag.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later, right?
Yeah, we'll do it with transition.
Well, we don't have transition today.
Oh, that's right. I'm all messed up because of the afternoon show not being in its normal place. All right, so I'll say this really quick.
The fact that we were going to be the afternoon show.
There is also that. Nuts on Clark sent me a lovely package, and it was really cute. And I think it was in honor of the Savannah Bananas game, and it had my name on it. And I couldn't take it to the game with me yesterday. So I was going to take it home today. But I can't because somebody stole it. The entire bag.
There's a lesson to be learned here.
No, people steal my stuff a lot at every place I've been, but it's I don't normally leave something out like that. Like, I've had stuff stolen and you know, either out of a fridge, you get your meal stolen consistently or something like that with your name on it, or other things.
You know,
with
the
your
turn
name
of phrase,
on it.
Secure the bag.
That's not that wasn't supposed to be for this. So Nuts on Clark, thank you. I'm sorry. I wanted to see what was in there, but unfortunately I can't because one of my coworkers stole it.
Wow.
Who do we think did it?
Whoa. Before we do that, I just want to back to my original point.
There was somebody in our office, I guess.
Someone who has a pass to get into this portion of the building.
And like that, did you hear about what happened with Studs, by the way?
No, what happened?
The reason we moved the fridge is because somebody stole two slices out of the fridge, out of the bag of Studs is three slices. So they ate 2/3 of his pizza and then put the other slice
back. Who takes
back
someone's
in there.
Cold pizza?
That is diabolical. That is.
Studs had every reason to be upset. But
I'm on the case.
Nuts
on
Clark,
case.
I'm sorry. I would have loved to have seen what you sent. I think I was going to take a bag of popcorn on the plane with me to Vegas tomorrow, but I can't.
Next time you have something delivered here, I would say this. If you're going to leave it here, put it in a manager's office.
Well, I didn't have it delivered. It was a gift.
No. I'm saying anything that comes to you here, put it in a manager's office. I learned that the hard way 3 jobs ago. Yeah. Never leave something out open because people are diabolical.
Yeah, this was under Matt Spiegel's desk. So,
Nah.
We're not doing that.
Good
we're
vibes,
not doing
babe. I don't know.
Yeah. So I texted the afternoon show and I was like, hey, have you guys seen it? Because I wanted to take this home. I also wanted to know what was in it, but can't do any of that now.
I think it's time for five on it because, yeah, this is. I
so
don't
Matt
like the...
Clark, if you're listening, thank you for thinking of me. I'll eat my imaginary popcorn on the plane.
Yeah, that's it. It's time to go to break, Robbie.
Can we play the Vega bus again?
Five on is on next. It can be just our theme for everything that goes badly, poorly, wrongly.
Good vibes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.